I can't overstate how critical it is for you and I to think of biblical perspective every single day. It is everywhere in God's word. And notice this, where there's powerful perspective, then there's powerful prayer. Because what does perspective do? Perspective means I'm seeing clearly. And when I'm seeing clearly, I understand what life is really about. I'm filled with faith, I'm filled with love, I'm filled with prayer for the things that actually matter.
Well, it's a brand new day here at Live in the Light. We're glad you've tuned us in. We see it as God's providence that you're here today. We believe that God is using this ministry, and we pray that you yourself are being radically transformed by the revelation of God's truth. That's our heartbeat here. This is what we want to see God do so greatly in your lives. It's no accident you're here today. And today, we're talking about prayer, and it's the promise of prayer. And there's so many things in this passage in Philippians 4 that are so helpful for us, right, Robbie?
It's true. That's true. And as you are encountering God through His Word and your life gets changed, we just want to be able to extend to you too. We just love to hear about that, right, Craig? We just love to extend the people to say, and part of this ministry is to know how God is using it. If you're out there and you've been encouraged by this, would you consider taking the time to write us about that through our website, liveinthelight.ca? Would you take the time maybe even to call? We have wonderful people who answer our phones who are Live in the Light, Leona, right? Right?
Right.
That's
so
true. And we really, though, desire to hear the things that God is doing. And so that would mean a lot to us if you would do that. And thankful for those who have done it as well. And so this message is all part of seeing God's people grow and experiencing the peace of God and knowing how much the Lord loves them. So in a special way, we just pray right now, just in the name of Jesus Christ, that you would especially, Lord, be moving, encouraging, and speaking to those who need a special word today from you to meet them where they are and to allow them to not give up, but keep going and fighting the good fight of the faith. May that be so. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, would guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, we would love to hear from you. And our website again is liveinthelight.ca. Or you can phone us at 1-844-22-LIGHT. That's 1-844-225-4448. Let's get to God's word today, Philippians chapter 4. And here is Robbie.
You know, behind this verse 5 really is contentment. I have a gentleness to my spirit. I'm so filled with joy in Christ that there's a reasonableness within me that I'm content with the joy of Christ, that I don't look for things outside of Him. I'm not filled with envy and lust and longing for all these other things that will not give me joy ultimately. See, when you're filled with the joy of the Lord, you have a reasonableness that is made known to everyone so that you're not always agitated. You're not always angry. You're not losing your temper. You're not frustrated with all these different situations because, in a sense, you're too filled with loving Christ and His joy. It's amazing where this really happens. When you're rejoicing in the Lord, there's a gentleness among you. Someone comes up to you and they're like, man, I can't stand you. You did this to me. I don't believe in you. And they want to hate you. And you're so filled with joy, you kind of turn. You're like, I'm sorry, what'd you say? I'm just loving Jesus. I really didn't hear what you said. And you turn here. And what God does is we love the Lord and now we love others. And then you sit there, someone's so angry at you. In some sense, you want to like, can I just hug you? And you say, that's silly. No, it's very biblical. Loving your enemies, I do unto others. I love your neighbor as yourself. This is what happens when we're rejoicing. We become reasonable and gentle with others. Why? The text says, notice in verse 5, the Lord is at hand. Translation, life is too short to make it all about me. The Lord's at hand, Paul says, man, get the urgency. Life's way too short to make it all about me. Rejoice in Christ. Love others. Stop being so self-consumed, you know? Now, here's a good word. Stop trying to be someone you're not. Stop trying to have what isn't yours. Stop longing for anything outside yourself. Be fulfilled in Jesus Christ. It's so powerful. This is what it means to the call of our lives to be filled with joy. I mean, I think about this a lot. So when Christ, the Lord's at hand, Paul says, so when Christ returns and the trumpet sounds and he makes his appearance, do I want to be in my life being filled with envy over other people? Really? Like, that's where I want to be, angry and upset with the other people I have with Jesus Christ. Sorry, one second, Jesus. I'm just really bitter here right now. Really? Really? When Christ returns, I want to be out of my car arguing over a parking spot? Really? Really? Is that what it's coming down to? See, wisdom says, no way. Life's too short to make it all about me. Really? I'm going to go through life and hold on to unforgiveness and bitterness, and Christ returns, I have so much joy quenched and on the floor because I wasn't able to forgive? Really? Not for the person who's rejoicing in the Lord. You say at this point, Robbie, what does all this have to do with prayer? I say, everything. I mean, what a prayer this is, verses 4 and 5. And I hope you've already started praying about these things. I am. And furthermore, it launches us right into the power of point 2, which is this, the antidote to anxiety, prayer. The antidote to anxiety now, prayer. Look at verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now, this gives us insight that anxiety is not just a 21st century problem. Anxiety was obviously a problem for the Philippian church. What it tells us is anxiety is a human problem. It's a sin problem. Anxiety, worry, hate to break it to you, but it is a form of sin. Jesus says, do not worry. Therefore, when we worry, we have sinned. Now, don't be discouraged by that yet. Let's continue on and see what God's word says about this. But I love about God's word, those 2,000 years later, here we are, and this passage makes as much sense to us as it does then. That's the power of God's word. Notice again the phrase at the end of verse 5, the Lord is at hand. That phrase bridges verse 5 and verse 6. It bridges them together. So urgency, God's returning, Christ is returning. Be reasonable, but now Christ is returning. Do not be anxious. What Paul's doing here, he's calling for perspective. Now, I can't tell you how much Paul beats this drum, and I love this drum beat. The call for perspective. He's like, look around, see what this life is really about. I mean, just look at the examples within this letter alone. Look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. Chapter 1, verse 21. Paul says this, for to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. That's powerful perspective. It's all about Christ, man. To live is Christ, to die is gain. Look at chapter 3, verse 8, one of my favorite verses in all scripture. Philippians 3, verse 8. I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Beautiful perspective. Like, this is what fuels his direction and his affections. He sees clearly what's going on in life. Philippians 3, verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. Here it is, that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection of the dead. Such powerful perspective. He knows why he's living. Philippians 3, verse 20, more perspective. But our citizenship is in heaven. I'm not a citizen of this earth. I'm a citizen of heaven, and from it we await a savior. See, he's like, man, I'm not here to please man. I'm here because of Christ. My life's being lived for Jesus. He's coming any moment now. Who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body. Amen, people? Amen. Yes, yes, glorious body. By the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. See what Paul's doing all the time. Perspective. Okay? Look right here. I can't overstate to you the power of perspective in the Christian life. I can't overstate how critical it is for you and I to think of biblical perspective every single day. It is everywhere in God's word. And notice this, where there's powerful perspective, then there's powerful prayer. Because what does perspective do? Perspective means I'm seeing clearly. And when I'm seeing clearly, I understand what life is really about. I'm filled with faith. I'm filled with love. I'm filled with prayer for the things that actually matter. Perspective is massive. That's why he says the Lord is at hand. Listen to this little example of perspective. When Goliath came against the Israelites, the soldiers all thought, he's so big, we can never kill him. David looked at the same giant and thought, he's so big, I can't miss him. I love that. I love that so much. What is that? It's a perspective in his God that allows him to have faith to overcome all odds of human thinking. And this is what's available to us right now to understand, man, this life is about living for Jesus Christ and him alone. And this is the prayer we start to pray, believing the power of this prayer. But notice here, before we get to the actual prayer, notice the prohibition in verse 6. The prohibition is, do not be anxious about anything. Is that in your Bible too? Do not be anxious about anything. Now, I get a kick out of this verse a lot because I want it to say, try not to be anxious about anything, or desire to not be anxious about anything, or do not be anxious about most things, something like that. But clearly, the Bible is clear. Do not be anxious about anything. And anything means anything, yes. But the Holy Spirit does not just leave us here with a stop sign and then take, he doesn't just say, do not be anxious about anything. Okay, good luck with that. See you later. Be anxious for nothing. You're like, man, I got a lot of so hard. He doesn't leave us just with a stop sign. He also gives us a green light. And the green light is, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer. So don't be anxious, but now do this. To combat anxiety and worry, now seek to run to the Lord in prayer, but in everything. See, prayer is to be our instinct. Martin Lloyd-Jones says, never refuse the impulse to pray. Meaning, in all aspects of life, where we are, whether speaking out loud or our thoughts in our minds, as we carry ourselves through life, we are to pray without ceasing, and everything by prayer is what he is saying. I love what Paul does here. In four different words, he describes prayer. You see that there in verse 6? Four different words. He says prayer, supplication, thanksgiving, and requests. Four different words all pointing to prayer. You could argue four different ways to pray. I think what he's really doing is highlighting the importance of unceasing prayer within the life of the believer. It's kind of like when the Bible says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Heart, soul, mind, and strength are just encompassing. Your whole life is to be filled with love for God. And now we see in prayer, with prayer, supplication, thanksgiving, and requests. Our whole life is to be lived in prayer. But here's Paul's overall point in verse 6. Here's his point. Prayer is the medicine for anxiety. Prayer is the antidote for anxiety. Now, let's just break anxiety down for a second. What really is anxiety? I think biblically it's this. Anxiety basically comes down to us thinking that we are the ones who are in control. It may not always feel that way. I think what's happening, that is happening. And if we think we're in control, it's only a matter of time before we start to worry. It's anxiety that assumes we have to fix everything. It's anxiety that tempts us to believe we are sovereign. It's anxiety that tempts us to believe it's up to us to fix our lives. And really, when anxiety is most overwhelming is when we see everything in front of us and we realize we can't do it. So then we say, I can't do it. And then we say, I can't do it. One of the worst parts of anxiety is anxiety breeds more anxiety because we'd be anxious over the fact that we're anxious. And it cripples us in our lives for Jesus Christ. But consider then the power of prayer. Prayer is when we realize I can't do this, but I know the one who can. See, that's the difference. Anxiety just looks continue horizontally in my life. Oh my goodness, I'm so overwhelmed. But prayer says, oh my goodness, I can't do this, but he can. And he has called me to look to him as the one who can. There's a story of this little guy who valiantly but futilely was trying to move a heavy log to clear a pathway to his favorite hideout. And his dad stood nearby him, was watching his son struggle with this very heavy log. And his dad asked him, son, why aren't you using all of your strength? And the son assured him, said, oh, dad, I'm trying with all my might. And his dad quietly walked up to him and said, son, you're not using all your strength because you've yet to ask me to help you.
Now that describes a lot of us when it comes to life. We have this massive heavy log in our way, this massive obstacle, and we're trying to lift it. Like, oh, I can't do it. And meanwhile, God is staying right over here. And God is asking us, you've yet to ask me to help you do what you cannot do. See, prayerlessness is trying futilely to clear the obstacles of life. Prayer is, I know the one who can, and the one who loves me, and the one who is the ruler of the entire universe, who just spoke and the creation came to be. And this is the God who asks us to ask him to help us within our lives. But you see, when we fail to pray, we don't believe that that is true. How stressful is it to try to clear paths on our own? How overwhelming is it to try to do things on our own? But we look up, we say, there's my Father. What happens when you see your God as he is to be seen? The stress seems to disappear and faith begins to take its place. See, anxiety wants to be the father of the household as opposed to the child. Anxiety, we become the master of the household where we're meant to be the servant. Jesus is the master. Jesus is the father. Father is the father. We are the child. We are the servant. Anxiety says, no, I need to do it. And no wonder then we are filled with such stress and worry and anxiety. And this is why Paul says then this. He says, let your requests be made known to God. Ask the Father for the help that only he can bring. You know, interestingly enough, as we go through verses 6 and 7, this past week, I had something that happened to me that hasn't happened to me, and I don't really remember, but even as recent as leaving the final service last Sunday, I went home and immediately I began to feel incredibly tired, more than normal after a weekend. I began to feel very, very stressed. And all I say is this, it was an unexplainable, irrational, tremendous wave of anxiety over my heart and life. It lasted Sunday night. I was lying awake for 2 hours Sunday night. It lasted Monday, unexplainable, irrational waves of anxiety. Monday night, lay there awake, overcome with anxiety. I'm thinking, what in the world is happening to me? You know, and I wasn't despairing yet, but I was in the place of just saying, what's like, I can't think, I can't talk, I don't know what's going on. Tuesday night, trying to pray through this thing, trying to figure out what's going on. Wednesday morning, I wake up so early, there I am, and decide, that's it. I'm emailing my prayer team. Should have done that probably a couple days before, but this is what happens. There I am, I send this email out to my prayer team, explain the situation, saying something like, I'm not despairing, but man, this is tough. And I don't know what's going on with me, but I just can't think straight. I have massive issues. But I did say this to them. I do believe it's no coincidence that my text this weekend is be anxious for nothing, but everything in prayer and petition. Peace. I mean, I did say that. Wouldn't you know it though? Within 10 or 20 minutes of saying that email, this is the love I have in my life from the people who care for me through prayer. Within 10 or 20 minutes, I'm telling you, no word of a lie, I felt like an absolutely different person. It was like you had this cloud and this confusion and this stress upon your life. You call for prayer, and within 20 minutes, you're just like, who was that guy? What was that over there? And here you are now, and you're thinking clearly, and you're seeing God, and now encouragement comes. And I think as I thought about this past week, and I said, why did God give that to me? I have a few ideas. Number one, he gave that to me to break me, to humble me, to destroy me. When you are overcome with anxiety and stress, here's what you're not doing. You're not thinking you're tough stuff. And you're not thinking you're smart. And yeah, I'm just sitting there going, man, I can't do this. Like, I am absolutely done unless God helps me, man. Like, pride is not the issue at that point. The only pride you have is the fear of asking people to help you. It's a gift, love. I realize God has given this to me once again to humiliate me, to destroy me, because he loves me. It's a gift, and I've gone through it enough now to recognize these moments. It's so powerful when you take something that's so hard. Your problems are way bigger than mine, I understand that. But when you take something for me that's so hard, and you realize, I'm gonna turn this trial into a gift from God, man, it really starts to weaken Satan's grasp on your heart and mind. Secondly, I believe he gave it to me for this reason, that I could stand up here today, and with all sincerity and with all passion, testify to you
that Philippians 4 verses 6 and 7 are absolutely true, that I could say to you today that the antidote for anxiety is prayer. And if you sincerely go to God and you let other people help you in the process, and if you take your steps before the Lord, that God will do exactly what he says he will do. That the promise of prayer will be peace, and the antidote to anxiety is prayer. This is what God says to you today. If you go to him, if you give yourself to him, if you truly rest in him and believe in him when life is the hardest and all these things are going on, and it's not just lip service, it's a life given to him, you will find out that he is faithful upon your life. But here's the thing, many Christians say that, but they don't actually follow through and live it. You have the opportunity today to live it. The experience of God's faithfulness by everything in prayer. The antidote to anxiety, prayer. Thirdly, and here's really the whole message, the promise of prayer, peace. So here's the promise of prayer now. It's peace, verse 7. So he says, be anxious for nothing, pray. Pray, 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 pray. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Loved ones, I can't tell you how much I want this for your life. I love you so much. I'm jealous for this in your life. I pray hard for this in your life. I'm telling you, this separates the immature from the mature. People who will know the peace of God and to believe it can happen upon your life right now. Remember, God is making promises today. And the promises he's making is that those who abide in Christ and who abide in prayer will know his peace. I mean, just stare at those words in verse 7. Stare at them. Man, it better be underlined in your Bible. And the peace of God. And the peace of God. The peace of God is what? The peace of God is to have the disposition of God. And what's the disposition of God? It's beautiful. It's powerful. I've had it before. I want it more and more. There's nothing like it. The disposition of God is that God is never worried. God is never concerned. God is never stressed and never agitated. He can't be ever, ever, ever. He's never like this. And that's because God is God. God is in complete and perfect control. Therefore, he's in perfect peace. His enemies have no chance. His weaknesses don't exist. His plan is perfect. Therefore, he has perfect peace. What prayer does, prayer aligns our thoughts with God. And the more we think the thoughts of God, the more we hold the peace of God. And this peace gets to a point where it's literally beyond our understanding to really comprehend what's going on. I mean, think of what the Bible gives us in this area of those filled with the peace of God. Think of Daniel in the lion's den. He's with lions, like hungry, man-eating lions. And he's like, hey, what's up? What's up? Hey, nice line. He's like, oh, I'm all good, man. I'm all good. My God, what? How does that happen? It's the peace of God, which is beyond Daniel's ability to understand it. The guys who told on him, they got thrown down. They're devoured in seconds by these same lions. But he's like, hey, lion, high five. You know, like there he is. It's just like, think about situations again, like David and Goliath. Israel's are knocking their knees, man, knocking their knees, terrified of Goliath. David's like, I got him. I'll go. I'm a little shepherd boy. I'll go. Why? He's looking at his God. He is filled with a peace that is beyond all the Israelites. Like, what in the world? David? What? Think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were thrown into a furnace so hot, the guys who threw them in were killed by the heat. But they're in the furnace, four of them. It was probably Jesus is there with them. And there they are, man. They're not stressed out. They said as they went, I love this. They said, our God can save us, but even if he doesn't, we're trusting in him. That's awesome. What is that? Peace of God, man, which surpasses understanding. How about Stephen being stoned to death, rocks crushing his skull as he is murdered for his faith in Jesus Christ. And he looks up and worships Jesus right in the, and meanwhile, he's being killed by stones. Who does that? How is that even possible? We don't understand it because it's the peace of God that surpasses understanding. I read this week a story of a martyr. It was the man of God who on the morning he was to be burned at the stake for his faith in Jesus Christ. So the morning he was to be burned was so soundly asleep that they had to shake him to wake him. He had to get up to be burned. How's that for a to-do list? And yet knowing that it was to be so, he had such confidence in God that he slept sweetly. This is the peace of God that surpasses understanding. Hey, you, wake up. Hey, wake up. Oh, what's going on? You need to be burned at the stake today. Like, what do we lose sleep over? How is that possible? It's only possible through the Lord, who gives a peace that is so supernatural when the whole world around us is saying you should be absolutely filled with worry, fret, anxiety, everything's falling apart. You stand there unexplainably saying, I have peace. When you receive some report from the doctor, which is devastating, and yet in that moment, you can be filled with peace. When your family falls apart in places you never ever thought would happen, when financial hardship hits you in a way you've never, and yet as you are looking to do the things as God wants you to, sin's one thing. But to know you're in a place of right standing before God, you can be filled with a peace to trust in your God. The peace that surpasses understanding, surpasses, is superior to, it transcends, it is over and above. It's a peace that when you hold, it can't be spilled because it's given from God. See, this peace isn't just beyond unbelievers' understanding. This peace is beyond our ability to understand it. I should be so anxious right now. And yet I'm filled with peace. I'm trusting my God. I don't even understand it. Hear me, loved ones. God's offering this to you today. This is where we're not just fooling around right now. God's making promises. If you buy everything in prayer, if you believe then, and the peace of God that surpasses understanding, this can be your gift to you today to take with you for the rest of your life. Yeah, days are going to be hard in the days to come. There'll be times of anxiety and worry, but the ability to bounce back and see what God says. You see what this peace of God does? It surpasses understanding. And then look at verse 7. It guards our hearts and minds. Guard is a military term. Think of a guard standing over an entranceway. The peace of God stands guard and says, fear, take a hike. Over our minds and our hearts. Worry, get lost. Anxiety, come here, bang! That's what it does. Stand, peace of God stands guard and says, you're not getting by today, man, not today. That's what God does, it's awesome. He's offering that to you today. See the final three words of verse 7? The final three words of verse 7 are, in Christ Jesus. So fitting. Everything comes down to Jesus Christ. The starting point, loved ones, to know the peace of God is not to run to the external issues of life. The starting point for the peace of God is the gospel only found in Jesus Christ. The starting point is to root yourself on that which is most true, that can never change. I know there's all sorts of situations in this room I don't understand and I have not gone through, but here's what I do understand is that the reason the guy is sleeping so soundly when he's about to be burned at the stake, because he knows the only thing he's really living for is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the gospel of Jesus Christ has saved him in that he was lost, now he's found. He was blind, now he can see. He was dead, now he's alive, and he will never, ever die again. That must be the truth that carries us through all sorts of problems, hardships, difficulties, and situations. You are loved by God, and nothing can separate you from this love. No trial, no situation, no financial heartache, nothing can separate you from the love of God. You are a child of God. You are going to heaven. You cannot lose. You will win. You are treasured and cherished by God Almighty over the entire universe. That is what fundamentally will bring us peace. That's the starting point for today. I invite you to take God at his word. Do you believe God? Do you believe God when he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer, and the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus? See, it really comes down to this today. Do you believe? Do you believe that God can give that to you today? I do. I believe it for you, and I pray it for you.
If you'd like to hear this message again, or the rest of the messages from this series, you can find these free resources and more on our website at liveinthelight.ca. That's liveinthelight.ca. If you'd like to get a copy of the entire series, make sure you phone us at 1-844-22-LIGHT. That's 1-844-225-4448. I'm Craig Turnbull, and on behalf of Robbie Simons, we invite you to join us again next time on Live in the Light.